Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, it's episode 174, top of the day to you.
Ah, and a pop-o-matic trouble bubble pop to you as well.
Wow, we have got a very special guest here. We've got Shannon from Game of Nerds, not only podcast but website. Shannon, how are you going?
I'm so glad to be here. How are you guys doing today?
Really good. Really pumped and excited to have you on because we all knew we were all going to be able to talk about the same things.
I love talking to nerds. I love my husband and my daughter so much, but it's great to talk nerd talk to somebody else other than them. And watching Bluey and Sesame Street and actually getting to watch a movie in one, you know, full take instead of two nights.
What a treat.
Wild. Look out. Right? Party animal over here. Wow. I saw a couple of weeks ago on your podcast, you were talking about Neighbours, and I thought, she's going to ask us questions about Neighbours, and I don't have any answers unless you want answers from 20 years ago.
I think what's so fascinating about the Neighbours fandom is how long it's lasted, because Lindsay came onto my website and she's like, I want to talk about Neighbours. And I'm like, okay, because I let my writers write what they want to write about. You know, I do not choose your topic. You get to choose what you want to write about. All right, you want to write about Neighbours. Within the first 2-3 weeks of her writing Neighbours Weekly, the traffic on the website just went like through. I'm like, what is this site? Like, what is the show? And I started digging and I'm like, holy crap, it's 30 years old. It's older. It's all as old as I am. Like, to date me, like, that's really old. So I just, and month after month after month, especially for Neighbours, it's one of our top trending shows because there's not really any other website that covers Neighbours or gives their insight on Neighbours. So shout out to Lindsay. She is the queen of the neighborhood.
It's the kind of show, I think. I don't know, Tom, because there are two. Like, there's Neighbours and Home and Away, right? One's in Melbourne. That's Neighbours. One's in Sydney. It's Home and Away. I almost got those mixed up. And at some point in an Australian's lifetime, they get into a show and they usually get into one or the other, like preteen 12 to about 14, and then you kind of drop out. I'd say most people.
It was very big at the boarding house at school. Guys would be watching that, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock. You get one of your soaps, your stories, your daily script. And, you'd watch a bit of that. And then if you were lucky, X-Files or something was on after.
Oh, yeah, that'd be all right. X-Files would be okay.
But Lindsay said it was what was on after she came home. You did your homework and then you sat and watched Neighbours. And she goes, same thing. It was Home and Away or Neighbours. And in the UK, in her house and in her neighborhood, it was Neighbours that won the TV, really. It's what you watched every day.
Yeah, and it's an odd thing compared to, you know, your day of Our Lives or Bold and Beautiful and those things, which are traditionally shown mid-afternoon for the elderly and stuff. This was very much shown at 6:30, just before prime time kicked off. You'd hopefully watch that and you wouldn't have to watch A Current Affair or
that'd be nice.
The serious stuff, blowing open the supermarket expose or things like that. You didn't want to watch that. You wanted to watch the fun
the
stuff.
The dodgy mechanic exposed.
I didn't get into either of them too much because I was watching Doctor Who reruns. Oh,
okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
It was the same time.
It's something for everyone. It's something for everyone.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The Beatles are back. That's right, the noisy, loud, long-antlered insects are arriving once again in our town and county. Each year they take over outdoor lights, set up camp around surveillance cameras, fly themselves into things like front windscreens and bedroom windows at 2 p.m. Experts from the university said we only have to put up with them for a few weeks until the great seagull migration happens and they eat all the beetles. Then we only have to deal with the birds for a few months till the great killer whale migration comes along. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Watchersville Library will be holding overnight ghost book signings. This is where they invite famous or infamous ghosts from around the town to autograph whatever novels interest them. Head librarian Janice Reederson came up with the idea after working late one night stacking books and being witness to several spirits holding a selection of ballpoint pens and feather ink writing things approach various genres of books and scribble their mortal names into them. She said that if they're going to be doing it anyway, she might as well make an attraction out of it. The Watchersville Marching Band have been furiously rehearsing for Sunday's parade. They have promised to perform huge hits like the Malcolm in the Middle theme, scene segue stings from Home and Away, and the nightly news closing music. With that set list, we'd be mad not to get out there and watch them march past us this weekend. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We're going to play Would You Rather later on in the episode. I thought that'd be fun for us all to do instead of a quiz, because sometimes I feel the pressure of the quiz.
It's a lot of pressure
on everyone.
Just want to have fun. Hey, let's pull the veil away for a minute, just for a second. Leah.
Yeah, what?
Things pretty wet around your way?
Yeah. So we're having a lot of rain.
Yes, for anyone listening to this far in the future, or we are currently flooded. Not in the studio, thankfully, but as a country, pretty much, we've got something the size of Alaska's flooded at the moment.
It's madness, absolute madness. I've been largely untouched in terms of water, apart from driving around can be a bit, you know, hair-raising. But no, I've had no flooding issues within the house. What about you, Tom?
The bottom of the house is flooded.
Oh, man.
Everyone else has been sick.
Oh, man.
I have been busy. My arms hurt.
What from?
Oh, mopping.
Oh, right.
I bought a fucking pump. Can I make the thing work? No. Requires a full 5 centimeter of depth. We've got about 3 centimeters.
Not deep enough.
No.
Yeah.
No. So it's just 10 bucket loads of water at a time, and then come back half an hour later and it was why did I bother? So we're waiting for things to dry out. It's been a good opportunity to watch a few things, lets me segue
that's
into
great, that's great.
I've got a few things that we've watched.
Fantastic.
I know that we probably want to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I think we've all watched it,
blasting
right?
Blasting off.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
There's some Walking Dead.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to dive into too much too much watching stuff, but I've got a movie that I watched this week that I'm really excited to talk about.
Cool.
And then some grab bag hit news.
Yeah, sorry, a what?
A grab bag.
A grab bag.
Okay. You know, this is I've given you the small version of the cinema pick and mix.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to kick off then, and we'll see if we can contribute to any of these stories.
Always. You know I like to kick things off, and so I'm going to kick things off with a story from Amazon Prime.
Right.
I know I've just blown out the speaker. Apologies. I got guttural because I'm excited for this news. Amazon Prime are stepping forward and giving comedians that did a good movie back in the day and never made a sequel to it, or maybe made a sequel and didn't get to do another one.
Right.
You know, Eddie Murphy threw him a bunch of money and made Coming to America. Not the best, but it was fine. And I appreciate that it was back.
Oh, as kids, we watched that movie quite a lot.
Well, apparently.
Yeah.
They've got on the blower. Hello. Is that you, Jim Carrey? Do you want to make another movie of something? And he's gone, yeah, I would actually. How about Ace Ventura 3? And I'm there for that because those two movies have aged very poorly.
Have they? I haven't seen them in years.
I'm surprised that he hasn't been cancelled yet because of the whole Laces Out Dan Marino slash. The first movie is basically a whole transphobia thing. And the second one involves him, you know, forcibly extracting himself from a rhino.
I remember that. Can't forget that.
Everyone remembers that.
We were just talking about that this weekend because we went to the San Francisco Zoo.
Did you? And
that's, of course, what my husband brought up.
Where's Jim?
You know, except, yeah.
There you go.
So I passed the rhino exhibit with an 18-month-old.
We don't know any timeline on this or anything. It's just an initial discussion.
Okay.
I imagine this is that they said, what would you like to make a sequel to? Liar Liar or, you know.
I'm Ace Ventura.
Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah, I watched Cable Guy recently. It's still pretty creepy.
I know. I would fuck with a Cable Guy sequel. I love that.
Really?
Movie. Oh, yeah.
Feel like they do these like setups, like they say, oh, it's coming. And then like 6 months we'll hear, oh yeah, that died down. We're not going to do that because they can't land a writer or a director who will even touch it. Or like, how do you even top some of these movies? Like we're talking about some of these cult classics that have been around for years that everyone kind of goes back to when they're sick or they're bored or, you know, that was their first movie they saw in theaters. So, you know, some of these reboots really don't make it.
Yeah.
Like you think about Dumb and Dumber, right? It felt like years they were talking about that. And then they eventually made it. And let's go around the room right now and see who watched the sequel. I didn't.
My hands up.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you, Shannon?
My husband did, but I wasn't paying attention. Okay, it was one of those things where it didn't, like, I didn't even like it the first one. So, the, like, is the second one going to keep my attention? No, it's not.
Look, I have plenty of concerns and things, but the Amazon Prime guys seem to be doing a good job of revitalizing a dormant property. Borat 2.
Yeah, that's true. That, do you know what I mean? Good.
And so what they're doing is they're approaching the key talent on camera, the on-camera talent, but they're giving them creative control to choose who will direct. So they didn't get Larry Charles back to do Borat 2. Mm. They got one of the guys who he was the main director on Nathan For You.
Oh,
and
okay.
Spent a long time honing his art on small-scale TV productions and stuff, and this was kind of his opportunity to step up.
Cool.
So I could see them doing something similar with an Ace Ventura and finding someone who's directing some really madcap comedy at the moment and giving them a bit of a long leash to either excel or hang themselves with.
The other. Shannon, have you watched the Coming to America sequel yet? I've yet to sit down.
No, I haven't gotten to see it yet. But, you know, the one thing that Amazon does have in its favor is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at Jensen Ackles going over to The Boys, who else would be able to have money to make a Lord of the Rings kind of TV show and spend, I think the current price tag is at $100 million that they're working at this, you know, or something ridiculous to that. Like, who has that kind of money to do this? Amazon has that money.
Yeah, you're so right. Speaking of Amazon, I saw that The Boys spinoff is starting to cast people.
We haven't talked about this spinoff much, have we?
No, not really. So, do you know, it kind of reminds me of Saved by the Bell, The College Years, but it's The Boys, The College Years, right? Or it's like, is it a prequel or is it just a... So sideways thing.
I'm going to dance around this because I think it's going to tie into some stuff on season 3. But there are two storylines in The Boys comic book. So there's one called Herogasm, which we've already heard will be part of season 3 of The Boys, which is basically to the outside world, the superheroes are off fighting in space right now, or there's they're fighting an intergalactic or a demon or something, and they all can't be present there. In reality, they've taken over a private island where they have a hedonistic orgy for days on end.
As you do.
And they interact and they play with each other in the way that they can't do in the eyes of the public. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big storyline. And I can see some of the characters from this spin-off show appearing there, but there's also another series, a storyline called the G-Men, which is a very close analogy, of course, of the X-Men. I'm a little bit worried about how far they'll go down with this because the G-Men is the Professor Xavier character is basically indoctrinating children and abusing them to keep them contained within that system, and he keeps adding more and more children and having wider X-Men teams. So I can see what this college G-Men teams. This is what I can see that this spin-off show is going to be about it, and some of those characters end up being kind of important for Herogasm, so maybe there'll be a bit of tie there, but it could just be of a really 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 debaucherous version of, do you remember Greek? Did you ever watch Greek, that show? Clark Duke was in it and stuff like
vaguely.
That.
Oh, vaguely. I don't think I watched much of it, though. I'd forgotten about it until you said the...
As you say, Saved by the Bell College Years, it's just going to be a college-feeling thing, but I think it's half coming to terms with being more powerful and half embracing the fact that you're more powerful.
And I guess also because, you know, college years, people suddenly go from living with their parents and being under those rules to suddenly you have your own rules, but not really because you're under like the college or the university rules.
It's the sheltered life is gone. Yeah. You like can make your own choices. Like I can eat, you know, candy for breakfast and cake and, you know, nobody's going to tell me, you know, when to go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine that with superpowers. So I do think there's interest in this for sure. I think the fact that it's also from The Boys, we know it's we know the tone.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Now is Kripke in charge of that too? This is the first I've heard of the spinoff, so that's why I'm so curious.
So
about
I
this
don't
now.
Believe he is showrunner, but he will be an executive producer across it.
Okay.
So it is part of the family and stuff like that, but I don't think he's being the day to day liaison on it.
It's still considered an R-rated show, so
it's going to be fucked
different.
Up.
Yeah.
Like they have a wank room. One of the frat houses has a wank where the boys all sit together on recliners and watch porn.
I mean, that I think I've seen that in one of the Revenge of the Nerds movies from the 80s, right? Like, yeah.
I should have been thinking that. That's a really good analogy for the tone this kind of goes for. If some of the boys' teams are very Revenge of the Nerds, like, oh, let's do wacky pranks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you get up to the top tier G-men and they're there to keep the rest in line. And if anyone speaks out about negative experiences they've had, they're put down and things like that. So it's going to be dark. Mm-hmm. I'm very here for it.
Yeah.
Look, I've got another one that could be pretty dark.
Okay.
I believe I mentioned a while ago, and I'm going to say it out loud, but it's not how it's written. Berserker. BRZRKR is a comic book written by Keanu Reeves.
Mm.
Clearly starring
himself.
No way,
he's writing it. He wrote his own comic book?
Uh-huh.
Is there nothing this guy can't do?
So it's only issue one is out so far, and I've read it, and it was great, and no spoilers. I'm not saying anything because it's that fresh. Go and check it out for yourself. Okay. It's great. It's already been picked up to become a film and an anime for Netflix. Off one
no
issue.
Way.
Yep.
Do you think he did the script first and then he's like, yeah, sure, I'll just do it as a comic book because I can get it out faster?
No, I think it was more reverse engineered to in a very clear way of the character is drawn to look halfway between John Wick and maybe Kratos from God of War.
Okay.
So they, you know, it's essentially they've already storyboarded the film out in comic book version and stuff like that. So I think that they put this together as a cell piece. To go and you know, option around. It's very, very clever. It's what Mark Millar's been doing for years with Kick-Ass and Jupiter's Legacy, which is coming soon, and all this sort of stuff for Netflix. It's you know, show that your story can work as a film on the printed page first.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very easy to sell it. So that's a comic that's being turned into a film. On the flip side of that, when I'm talking dark stuff, and I'm really excited for this. I think I mentioned a while ago that Marvel is now producing a lot of comics that were part of the Dark Horse label because they bought Fox.
Yeah.
Later this year, we're getting Marvel Aliens, as in
the show.
Sigourney Weaver, that sort of alien stuff.
People still love that franchise.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
My nephew is obsessed with it. Like, he's 10, and that's like his go-to movie right now. Yeah, he asked us for his birthday, which was in June. That's all he wanted for his birthday was alien toys. And we ended up finding some like minifigure things that they made of all the little characters and bought him that. And he was like coming unglued because nobody else could find anything alien other than actual, like, you know, like film replica, like $400 things, mm-hmm. you know, that nobody's going to buy a 10-year-old.
No.
you should check out a site called Super 7. I don't know if you've checked their stuff. They do reaction figures. So they will repurpose a lot of old action figures into new stuff. And they often bring out really cool things like that. So, yeah, I've seen
that. Oh, I'm definitely going to have to check them out.
But Marvel have announced as well this week that they're doing a Predator series starting in June. And this is what I am here for.
A Marvel comic book version.
So there's been many, many, many comic book versions of Alien Predator, Alien vs. Predator, if it was first in the comics and this sort of stuff. But this is Marvel having a stab at it. This one is going to be set in the far future. Well, sorry, it's set in the future of the film series after all of them. We as humanity can now space travel and this sort of stuff. And it's about a girl who witnessed her family being hunted by the Predator. And they were all brutally killed. And I believe she didn't have a weapon on her, so that's why she didn't get attacked. And she then spends the next 20 years training for revenge.
It almost sounds like Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor.
Yes. So she's,
yeah, I was going to say like Terminator
status. Yeah, yep.
She's going to fight back and she's going to hunt the hunter.
That's cool. Because you've got a lot of like PTSD stuff happening there.
It's rich. It's fertile.
Yeah.
There's a lot to get out of that.
Oh, that does sound good.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Guess how much money Avatar made in China this week? $14 million. They love that movie so much. Like, can we just remember that this came out in 2009? It's been re-released over there and yeah, just over one weekend, it made $14 million. It came out earlier this month in March, and so far they've made $44 million. This is in the middle of a pandemic. and from a movie that is, what year are we up to? This is like 12 years old. Crazy.
Yeah.
Look.
That's just, I found out about, so my daughter's obsessed with Zootopia. I found out that's the number one Disney movie in China. Like yeah, that, right. They're actually making a Zootopia land at Disneyland Shanghai.
Yep.
But that like blows my mind that that movie is still the top rated Disney movie. How many Disney movies have we had since then since Zootopia is the top one? Gets me every time.
I'm sure that if we look at the number one Disney movie in Australia versus the US, it might be different. I don't know. I've got no idea, but I'm sure it's not Zootopia.
That's Frozen 2.
Is it?
Yeah.
And what is in the US?
Frozen 2.
Huh. It's probably Frozen 2.
Right. All right, we're okay. Let it go, everyone.
Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we like.
If you've got strong songs, then you'll get a good box office.
We're big.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of any recent Disney movie, because I haven't even seen Raya yet, because I'm waiting for it to actually just come out on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
You know, and not pay the premiere price for it. But I'm like trying to think in the back of my head what's come out recently that could top that.
Zombies 3 is coming soon.
The only one I could think of was Soul, but that.
Sorry, we have an 8-year-old daughter, so I've seen a lot of the Disney Channel show. I'm very invested in the ongoing saga of the Descendants. And
that's a good soundtrack. As nanny, that was like my nanny kid's favorite soundtrack. It was the only one I could actually tolerate, like in a row. Like if I'm gonna have to listen to you screaming at the back of my head, I would hope it's that one.
Well, they've created an animated special during COVID lockdown and stuff. So stay tuned for that.
Dove Cameron's now a Powderpuff Girl.
Correct.
She was just cast in the Powderpuff movie.
Is she Buttercup?
Yeah, I think it's her, Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then I don't know who the third one is. It totally escapes my brain, but I remember looking at the press release when it passed through my desk.
I think she's from Broadway. I think it's the girl who's I'm thinking of ending it things.
Sorry, the only thing I can think of is Hamilton. I saw Hamilton the other day live for the first time.
How'd you love it?
Yeah. I've seen it on Disney Plus. But
which is a different feeling, because totally seeing it different from them is just electrifying. But seeing it live, I always feel is like, all right, I've done my due justice. I've seen it in person now.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, really fun. But because I saw it in the beginning of 2021, I had to wear a face mask through the whole thing. And I thought I was like starting to get a cold. So like, you know, like I wanted to clean my throat all the time, but clearing my throat, it was just a lot. But they were amazing. And it was really fun. I've had the song stuck in my head ever since. I'm not going to throw my shot, guys. So I'm not.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Who's seen Tenet? I haven't watched it. You didn't see it, did you, Tom?
Nah, still sitting on my iPad because I thought watching it at a small scale would
make that's not going to be
Nolan
a thing.
Pleased.
Oh right, okay, okay, yeah, right. Shannon, did you end up watching it?
No, I'm mad at it.
Please tell me. I'm excited to hear this.
So from a media point of view, nothing pisses me off when a movie moves release dates. And after the fifth time moving something, I don't care about it anymore. It could be a Star Wars for all I give a crap. You have changed my schedule so many damn times. I'm over it. That's like the Black Widow. That was my exciting news to like, Black Widow finally is going to be a theater. A decision has been made. Hallelujah.
I know, right?
Because I feel like everyone's been kind of waiting to see what Disney was going to do. And now they're all going to play. Okay, we're all going back to the theaters. I mean, if they really wanted to make Disney premiere work, they would have dropped it last year with that instead of Mulan. And they would have had everybody paying $30 and we would have been out the door and done.
Yeah.
This is no knock on you, but our country's just fine. Our cinemas are going and everything like that. There are countries around the world that their cinemas are rolling along just fine.
Yeah.
And the constant shifting release dates has fucked us in a different way that you guys have screwed over, because our theaters are just begging for anything to play. Because I'm not going to go and see Avatar. I've gone to see Die Hard in a movie once before. I don't need to do that again. You know what I mean? There's only so many novelty levers they can pull, and they're all gone.
even for us, like in the US, going to the movies is expensive now. Like just getting a ticket and then buying popcorn. And then if you have kids and everything, you're talking about $100 adventure just going to the movie theaters to see it. And, you know, my big point with having the streaming, I'd rather give you $50 to watch it at home so I can go pee what I want and get my snack and put my daughter to bed and enjoy it. Then see it at the theater. I think maybe I'm now old, but the theater just doesn't do it for me anymore. There my husband's got a big enough TV for eight.
Yeah, two. Right.
That's his big thing. You know, like I've got a big enough TV.
You're not going to watch it on an iPad.
My argument for, and I completely agree, I prefer watching most things at home now, but I can't remember a cinema moment I enjoyed more than when Cap picked up Mjolnir.
Oh yeah,
and everyone just went fucking
yeah.
That moment, that's you know, there are certain things from films I can remember, but that is hard coded into my brain now.
I was pregnant with Marvel when I saw that movie, and I have never cried more like a baby than that whole. My husband and I, our wedding was Till the End of the Line, Captain America thing, Peggy and Steve Carter. So like. To see that whole fluition and that whole line, by the end, my husband, the lights came in and I'm like black from just the mascara running. And my husband goes, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "This was the best experience of my life." And he goes, "You're not going to go into labor here, are you?" And I'm like, "No, just get me home. Just get me home."
Oh, that's so good. I remember when we watched, I've only got Endgame in my head. The
Infinity
one before.
War.
Thank you.
Infinity War, yeah.
Infinity War. And, you know, like you sit through the credits so you can watch a bit at the end and then the lights come up. And I remember, do you remember, Tom, because we watched it together, there was it was a kid, he might have been 8 or 10 years old. And, you know, it was after everybody just, you know, the click, right?
Yeah.
And his parents were like, it's okay, around his shoulders. He was not coping well.
What's going to happen to Spider-Man?
It was, it was a Spider-Man problem.
We saw it premiere night, and I actually had to call my nanny families because the nanny kids that I had watched were all at that age where they were all going to go see it that weekend. And I actually called their parents and was like warning them. I'm like, this is not going to end well.
Good move.
Be prepared. I'm not spoiling for it, but I'm telling you, it's not going to end well for the boys. And sure enough, I got a text and a call as soon as they were out of the theater. Challenge. How could they? What's going to happen? Because I was their go-to of like knowledge. Like they know I run a geek business. Shannon's got to have the intel. She's got to talk to Marvel. She's got to know what's going on. You've got to tell me something. I'm like, I don't know, boys. I'm just as bad. I cried as hard as you did. And they're like, no, this is not okay. So it was, long wait till get to Endgame, but it was well worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, well then... It sounds like we're all not that crash hot on watching Tenet, but you can watch it on HBO Max at the beginning of May.
What?
So I'm telling three people who don't really care.
Oh, that's along with the Justice League Snyder Cut Justice's Grey version.
Do you, just really quickly, because we probably should have a quick mention about the 4-hour Snyder Cut. I just see it as really daunting.
Work.
Yeah, 4 hours is a lot.
It's going to take me like 3 or 4 nights to watch that at that point, if I'm lucky.
And they said that they pulled the jokes out, that's what he hated about Joss Whedon's version. Are you like, okay, let's watch 4 hours of dourness and unrelatable. Anyway, I'm not going to get into this because you all know that I get cranky about DC and this sort of stuff. They're gods. They're not humans. I can't relate to that. I don't need 4 hours of things. If you watched the Justice League Snyder Cut, and I'm talking to some specific people here right now, and they know who they are, but if you did watch it and you loved it, I am so happy for you. I hold no ill will and I bear no grudge. I'm very happy for you. You're not wrong. You're not right. You enjoyed it yourself. And likewise, I'm not going to watch it because I have been in an abusive relationship with those DC films. I've had to go and review plenty of them. None of them landed the way I was hoping. Apart from Shazam, which I didn't bloody write a review for.
You just went and watched it.
Just went and watched it. So
I'm just glad the DC fans have something. Like they've got the Arrowverse. Ripping.
No, they've got the Arrowverse. Come on.
Oh my God, we're so over it. Now here's the problem with the Arrowverse. And this is from somebody who I started covering Arrow from the beginning, and that was the beginning of the Game of Nerds and how we kind of built the Game of Nerds was covering the whole CW superheroes. As soon as they start adding the other shows like Supergirl, and we got Black Lightning, and then Batgirl, it's just started branching off in the crossovers, and you had to watch this episode to do this. Forget it. I'm done. It's too much goddamn work. And here's the thing. It's not continuous like the MCU. It doesn't all connect. So then I go over to the movies and I'm lost. And it's too much energy for me. And that's my only thing. But at the end of the day, I have a lot of cosplayers who are DC cosplayers. And for them to finally have something to be excited and to prep for and want to cosplay and get out there. Dude, all for it. I'm so happy for you. It's just going to take me a freaking long time to watch it, so stop asking.
Look, Legends of Tomorrow is the one that I would say is a must watch. The rest of them have all fallen by the wayside.
That's
and they're
really
fun,
good, yeah.
But Legends of Tomorrow is fantastic. What you were talking about of things not connecting, they have tried to address that in the most recent Crisis of folding everything in together into an omniverse or some shit. They're already falling away from that. It's not. I don't think they're going to be able to align the same way the MCU has, and it's a real shame. But I like being able to pick and choose a little bit more with DC. So I love my Legends of Tomorrow. I grind through watching The Flash 90% of the time. 10% of the time is fantastic. I'm watching Superman and Lois.
How do you like that? I've heard mixed reviews on that. That's the only one where I've heard it. That's my problem with the CW shows. Now everyone gives me the response of, and I'm like, what does that freaking mean? Yeah. Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Should I invest my time? Because now as I know, Tom, you can say this as a parent, my time is valuable. I don't want to watch crap. I want to watch something good. And that's actually entertaining.
So weirdly, I would say that Superman and Lois is more relevant now that you're a parent.
Okay.
I am enjoying it more because of it, in the simple fact that traditionally, your origin story for Superman, you see plenty of Clark living with the Kents, having the values instilled with him. This is Clark now in the Kents role, trying to instill similar values into his kids, who may or may not be powered. And it kind of really works. But if I was not a parent, I don't think I'd give a shit about the show at all. I don't think it would land for me in the same way that is of like, man, that is true. Like when he was a kid, everyone was telling him you can't play baseball because you reveal your powers and it'll be bad for everyone. But now that he's older and he, you know, people are aware of what he can, is it such a bad thing for his kids to be involved in this sort of activity and learn social skills and being a better team member?
How many episodes?
I've watched four.
Okay.
I think
it's in its first season. It doesn't have that many episodes.
It's still very fresh. I don't know. It seems to have forgotten largely that it's a superhero show. There's maybe 5 minutes of superheroics per episode. The rest is a lot more family drama.
It's interesting.
So it's not amazing, but I'm enjoying it a lot more than I expected. And it's not cheesy like your old, what's it called?
Lois and Clark, the Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher one.
Edges of Superman.
Hatcher? Yeah, Hatcher.
How did I forget that?
How can you forget it? Because it's from years ago. That's
why. But Dean Cain just won't stop being a dickhead.
No, he won't stop.
What a rogue.
he really is. Look, I know we're going to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier a little bit later on, but did you guys see the news that it is the most watched or streamed premiere for Disney Plus? You know, it's amazing, but I'm sure if there wasn't WandaVision before that, it probably wouldn't be, right?
I
think it's because so many people are here's my thing. I really got angry with WandaVision, and they easily could have made WandaVision 4 episodes and we could have moved on. They drug out the storyline and they could have added more on the back end, but because they added too much on the front end, they had to clip off, you know, like I felt it was very rushed towards the end. And because now they've hyped everybody up with WandaVision, somebody's like, okay, give us Winter. We need it. Yeah. We need Falcon Winter Soldier now because our craving for the MCU is so fierce. Mm. I just think they're vastly different shows.
Oh, totally.
I love Falcon and Winter Soldier so much more than WandaVision.
It's straight up MCU. It's what we've been waiting for. Just, you know, and like, for me, like, it's that Winter Soldier, like Captain America Winter Soldier vibe that I loved so much. I will say, WandaVision, for its faults and stuff, I love the fact that it has set the tone for phase four of MCU of grief. We're going to watch people deal with the fallout. And I'm happy if every single film or series in some way is dealing with the emotional ramifications of what happened at the end of Infinity War, the choices made in an Endgame, because we never see that fallout in any other media for this sort of stuff. You know, we spent 9 episodes watching a woman try and piece herself back together after losing everything in her life. We're watching a show now about one guy who believes he can't step up and another guy who believes he can't be better than he was. This is not where superheroes were 3 years ago, let alone Michael Keaton, Batman era and stuff. It is insane how far that we've come and that we've lived with these characters now long enough and that they're using periphery characters largely or, somewhat undeveloped film characters. My 8-year-old is obsessed with Wanda now. And this, you know, Dad, find me Scarlet Witch comics. Well, there's barely any that are appropriate for her age, but seeing Wanda's name mentioned now gets her super excited about some kid right now is going to fall the hell in love with the Falcon, and the Falcon is going to be his favorite character, which has never been a thing for anyone ever. No one ever has been like Falcon, number one, Falcon punch. I think. I don't think we should spoil too much with the episode because it's still early and it only aired a few days ago.
Still fresh.
But I think it has a whole different tone. I saw the Netflix Defenders series and the different MCU shows from there. But I feel like where those shows were like a whole different story, I felt like I wasn't in the MCU, but I was watching the MCU from far away. I feel like Falcon Winter Soldier just literally picked me up and dropped me back in the MCU where I belong. Like, all right, I'm here. What's new, you guys? Let's keep going. Where were we?
Look, I know we don't want to talk about the episode too much, but I just want to say that first scene, that's where they went, this is what, We're going to take you back now. This is it.
Yep. I love the plucky offsider, Torres.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye on him.
Yeah, okay.
He may become someone. The same way that we had to keep an eye on Monica.
Okay.
Sure. Do you want me to allude to it or should we leave it for now?
I'm not going to be the one who's responsible for ruining it for other people. Nobody's going to come after me for it.
No one's going to come. So in the same way that the Falcon was always paired up with Captain America, if the Falcon becomes Captain America, surely someone would need to step into the role of the Falcon.
Sure. Okay.
So he's already showing a great deal of interest in Red Wing and the AI drones and this sort of stuff. So I could see him either becoming the guy in the chair or maybe even putting on a suit himself.
So which Marvel series have we got next? Is it Loki? It is.
Loki's next,
yeah.
And then I haven't heard if Eternals is really... See, and that's the November. Thing. Because we haven't had a consensus where everyone's like put down a press release that these are the dates that it's going to be, everyone's kind of up in the air. And so we get closer and closer to these dates and they keep teasing. And then it's like, never mind. We're going to move it to this date. And from a media's perspective, it's really hard to plan content or even plan a podcast if you're going to talk about Marvel if you can't figure out when everything's going to drop.
For sure. For sure.
We've been benefiting from the fact that Thor 4 is filming quite close.
Oh, my gosh. You are probably living large.
There's a lot of people here who are having a lot of fun doing things when they're not on set. Yeah, I think there's lots of outings to
Natalie
cool
Portman
things.
Is taking on in a lot of theatre. Sam Neill is getting out and joining a lot of marches.
I saw Matt Damon is enjoying the zoo with his family. Yep. So maybe he saw the rhinos and giggled.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
We talked before about Moon Knight.
Yes.
That there's going to be a TV series of Moon Knight, and it's been directed by a pair of guys who, I did not write down their name, but they have been doing some very funky films over the last couple of years, funky horror, weird stuff. And I had this film sitting in my on my iPad for the last 2 or 3 weeks called Synchronic. So think synthetic.
Yep.
Think chronic. Okay. There you go, Synchronic. S-Y-N, chronic.
Okay.
It stars Anthony Mackie aka Falcon. It's also got Jamie Dornan, who you might know better for arousing
Fall
your mum.
Fall. Oh, see, in my head, I think about that BBC series where he was the serial killer and Gillian Anderson was trying to catch him. Nah. Like, I'm not giving anything away. You literally knew he was the serial killer from the first scene.
I'm just all about that Christian Grey life. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, that came out wrong. So it's the two of them and they are paramedics.
Yep.
Working in a city that is having a really tough time with things, but there is a new designer drug on the street, like a synthetic drug, that people have found ODing. And weird stuff has happened. Now, I'm not going to give away the twist here because I knew the twist going in. I'd read about it and stuff like that. And even knowing it, it was still brilliant. But when you see the actual effects of what this synthetic thing does, it's insane. And I like, wowee. Very, very clever visual techniques to show that stuff off. But I haven't seen someone go as far with this sort of mind-altering substance before.
Does it have – I'm trying to think of the name of the movie. It had I've gone blank. It was Limitless.
So they're – no.
It was like expanding your brain, like using 100% of your brain.
No,
not that
this
different.
Is more John Dies at the End.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Where they ate this specific soy sauce, opened up the multiverse to them.
Imagine soy sauce doing that. I just thought it was salty goodness, but apparently not.
This is kind of...
I'm never going to look at soy sauce again.
Yeah, I'm worried about it.
Oh, John Dies at the End is an amazing movie. Fantastic book as well, but like I've got a lot of time. And it's sort of... It's a much more madcap version of this. But the film, the first sort of half an hour feels like it's taking you in one direction and then that's going to be what the film is. And then... Then this drug starts to really take over people and it just does not go there at all. And where it ends up being, like, I was blown away. I really genuinely love this movie.
Is it heavy?
Yeah. You know I don't do too much heavy stuff. So yeah. For me, this is relatively heady.
Okay.
It's got some very big big thoughts and dealing with the idea of mortality. And what would you do with 3 more minutes? This
okay,
sort of stuff.
All right.
So by having two paramedics, guys that are dealing with people on the verge of death constantly all the time, to suddenly be interacting with a drug that can perhaps affect that, gives a lot of weird power structure and change. Very low budget movie. These guys have done some really weird stuff in the past, so I'm so excited for what they're going to do with Moon Knight.
That movie kind of sounds like something I would need to watch.
I think you'd quite enjoy it.
About it. Yeah,
I really do think you'd
like those weird, like, here's reality and now I'm going to move it over here a little bit. I love those kind of things.
Yeah, so there was that Netflix movie earlier this year with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Jamie Foxx, I think it was, where they could take you could take a pill and it would give you a superpower for 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. And we've all clearly remembered that one very fondly and that's stuck within our craw.
At no. all.
This –
I think like smack dab when the pandemic started. So right. It was like it didn't get any press because the world was falling to hell. And so it was just like, oh, here's something to entertain you because you're all at home right now.
We're all, no, we're watching Great British Bake Off. We're busy.
So it got lost in the shuffle. This is the far more art house highbrow version of that sort of story. It's not about eating something and getting superpowers, but it's that the short-term – short-term benefit for potentially very, very long-term loss.
All right.
There you go. I think I've danced around. And I think I've danced around that I've not spoiled anything because the twist in it is what?
Yeah, right.
One of those ones.
Okay.
And like, I'm going to watch it again.
Really?
Yeah, and you know I don't do that.
No.
So I want to go.
Is it a Doctor Who level Moffat like mind screw where you're just like, wow, I didn't see that one coming?
No, but look, I like that. I think it, I'd put it more up like a Terrence Malick.
Okay.
It's a central concept that gets pulled apart and it's beautiful, but, and that you can apply your own depth to it yourself, that sort of thing. You take away, you know, like Tree of Life. Mm-hmm. You can take away what you want to from that story and be as invested as you wanted with it. But yeah, that's I'm trying to dance. It's not twisty gotcha like a Moffat. It's not that sort of thing of like, ooh, story hook. It's just like, okay. All right. Getting hooked on heroin, not a good thing. No. Right? So you, in a film that's about trying this drug and it might work for you once, that's a real big gamble you're taking. So the stakes of it are constantly hammered home to you. So that's why it's not quite twisty fun, and it's certainly not fun. Not that I'm saying heroin is fun, but I'm sure it's fun.
Well, I mean, Trainspotting is our lesson for heroin intake.
Oh, see, I'm Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah, no. Did you ever watch Requiem for a Dream? Shannon, also, I'm impressed I managed to say it because it's a hard title to say without going.
No, because I wouldn't be able to pronounce it, so therefore I wouldn't probably want to. Well, here's my thing. My husband doesn't like anything scary, so it's not allowed to be watched in our house. Like, the extent of American Horror Story is as far as he'll go, and he can't be in the room. He has to be in the office.
You're missing out on
something.
So much goodness.
Yeah.
Scary shit's where it's at.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that. The most scariest thing that I've gotten to see him get him to see recently maybe has been, we did a murder doc binge. That's probably about the scariest thing I can give him. We watched The Night Stalker, and we watched the Crime Scene Vanishing Cecil Hotel doc on Netflix, both of them. And unfortunately, I watched the Cecil Hotel first, which really disappointed me because it was getting good. And then it went real, real bad. Real fast.
Yeah, I heard that.
But then Night Stalker was amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a recommendation for you to jot down. It's called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. It's from about 2006. It is a serial killer mockumentary.
Okay.
So it's funny, but it's about a guy who wants to become a Freddy Krueger-esque character and basically allows a film crew to follow him around. It's very funny as a setup and stuff, and then you realize that probably not a smart idea for the film crew to follow around someone whose sole goal is to get famous by killing people.
Have you guys seen Fake Famous on HBO Max yet?
No.
Oh.
Wait, which one? What's that about?
Yeah, it's a documentary on HBO Max. It's called Fake Famous, and it's about where they take three nobodies from like middle of nowhere, they turn them into influencers within 3 months.
I did see
buying bots and like literally shows you the industry and how it works. And it's one of those, especially if you work on the business side and do media, like, you know, podcasting and stuff like that, and the mind blowingness of how it all can be bought. If you've got a big enough budget, you can make it happen.
Yeah, I watched some of that. It was super interesting and a little bit depressing.
Yeah. I got off Instagram for a good, like, solid week after watching it. Like, I was in, like, a different dimension of thinking, like, oh, man, do it really matter? You know, this doesn't matter. Yeah. But then as a business owner, you know, I tell my husband, I don't want to play the game, but I know I have to. That's what makes me angry. I don't want to be stuck to my phone 24/7, appeasing all these people, making all this content, spending all this time. I want to be spending it with my kid, and, you know, I want to put good content out there, but I don't want to have to do it at a daily, you know, like at somebody else's pace rate.
Yeah.
I want to be able to put out good quality content, not quantity content.
And that's what the influencers that I can't remember the woman's name, but she went on
Dominique.
She went on like this retreat thing with a whole heap of other influencers, and everybody in every shot was taking photographs of themselves. Like, not just selfies, but like full on, like, photographer's setup. It looked exhausting. Like, to make your life look that interesting enough so that your followers will continue to rise and not fall, and so you can get sponsorship.
I'm going to be honest. I had to do videos last week for a nanny thing, and just setting up everything, like, and getting ready to look that cute, to stand in front of the camera, to record a 3-minute video was literally the most exhausting thing. And I had to like kick my kid and my husband out for the whole day to record. Like nobody realizes how much time and energy and effort goes into these things that you think is just so easy to click and like. So I love documentaries like this that show the behind the scenes where it just goes, hey, that's what you're doing. Like, this is what you're buying into seeing online. And especially as a mom, you know, it kind of bugs me because you see all these things where these parents are getting, you know, captured in these traps, whether it's sleep trading, buy this device, do this, do that. Right. And you go, it's money at the end of the day. It's a business. That's what they're
doing.
It
totally is. Yeah, that's an eye-opening thing to watch. I would recommend it for sure.
Sassier than Peppa Pig. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
The Walking Dead had an episode. Now, Shannon, I don't know if you've been keeping up with The Walking Dead. It's been going for a long time and we understand that people have dropped off. But where we're up to at the moment, they're like bonus episodes.
COVID episodes.
I started covering The Walking Dead for The Game of Nerds when The Game of Nerds started. Yeah. And then John, aka my work husband and my husband's Funko buddy, they are the ones who are Carl Ramrod in the Funko cosplay boxes that we do. And he's now covering The Walking Dead and he's covered ever since I stopped. So that was like year two of Game of Nerds and we're in year eight of Game of Nerds now.
Yeah.
So he's been my Walking Dead. And so I get to read each episode and man, that is a show that has kind of just changed with each kind of wave. Mm. And it's been interesting to see the fans come and go. Some people jump on, jump off. We jumped off with Negan because it was just too much for my husband. Like as soon as Negan rolled in, he was like, I'm done. Once Glenn was killed, he was like, nope, we're good. I'm done. I'm not watching this show ever again. I was like, I really want to watch it because it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Papa Winchester. I'm all for. That's as far as we got. But I've been keeping up with at least John's review. So I semi kind of know what's going
on. Yeah, yeah. You've at least got it in your head as to what's happening. So we're in the lead up now to the final season.
We've got two more episodes left, I think, until what would be season 11, the last season. Fear the Walking Dead is back in a few weeks. Mm. So that will tide us over. But last night's episode we spent with a new character we'd seen once, locked inside a train carriage. For an hour.
Yep.
It was a very interesting choice. Obviously, they're needing to do some clever stuff with COVID. There were some twists and turns as to what her mental stability and acumen was.
I think that was the most interesting part for me was watching her try and herself figure out what was real and what was all in her head and the fact that these people are surviving. Some of them are surviving by themselves. Barely holding on, but not aware of the fact that they're barely holding on.
She lists off all the medical ailments she had before the world fell apart, and it's very, very difficult, I imagine, to get medicinal treatment at the when everything's gone.
Yeah. So I thought I have to keep thinking of these episodes, and that's why I said they're bonus episodes. They're not necessarily adding a lot to the story continuing, but it's a moment to sit down and enjoy and watch them as a show focus on something that they never would have. Yeah.
A little bit of a character study.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. It is nice.
It's more character background and giving you another storyline. It's almost like a little fan fiction story from the side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I can't remember who's next week, but we finish with Negan.
We've got Carol and Daryl back next week, I believe.
Well, that'll be.
Main characters got to push them hard.
Yeah, they've got their own spin-off. No,
seemingly caught up with Yumiko briefly, Eugene, you know, I was happy, and Ezekiel. Mm. And I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Who's left from the original crew now? Like it's
as in season that? One?
Negan and Carol.
Daryl,
sorry. Daryl,
Carol.
Daryl,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Carol. Okay,
Maggie has returned, but she was season two. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
But I mean like the original core cast, I think like the first five seasons were like just so good.
Yeah.
And just so like I remember sitting down every week and watching that. Like when I sat through the commercials and everything, it was one of the few shows I actually did that for. So to see it, you know, every week John will turn in and it'll be a new character name or a name I recognize will pop up. Like you say, Eugene. Mm. I love Eugene. He's one of my favorite characters. So it's just, it's so interesting to see how this story has progressed. And even jumping on, I watched the first season of Fear the Walking Dead, mm-hmm. and it's been crazy how they've been able to intertwine the two stories, almost kind of like at an MCU level, where it's like, all yes. right, we can weave these characters in and out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the MCU of the zombie apocalypse, isn't it? Yeah. And they, you know, they're still saying they're going to do the movies afterwards. So,
and we'll get season two of World Beyond.
Yeah, that's right. Final season.
That was a thing? Those teens? Wayward teens?
Forgot about that. That's,
most yeah. people did.
I reckon we get into Would You Rather.
Let's do it.
All right. We're all game. I promise they're non-scary because I'm going to have to answer them as well. And I don't want scary questions thrown at me. So we've got six of them. Let's see what we all think, if we're all on the same page or we've all got like different perspectives. Would you rather be trapped in a heap of snakes like Indiana Jones or stick your hand in a log filled with scorpions, a.k.a. Flash Gordon?
Scorpions.
Really?
Yep.
Scorpions in a heartbeat.
Yep. See, I've had a really good hard think about this yesterday, and I kind of think snakes, because if I sit really still, I might be okay, but I can't see where my hand is.
Yeah, but I've got the flip of that.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point. I don't want to see where my hand goes. I don't want to see it get stung either. And the thought of snakes crawling over me.
Too much.
Oh, my gosh. Sheebie-jeebies. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah, right. Okay.
For me, it's length of time. I can shove my hand in quickly and get something out of a box, whereas
that's true.
It takes me a long time to stand up these days.
Brilliant. That's a great answer. Okay. Would you rather be part of a choir or be a solo singer? Like, do you like the limelight? Do you like your singing voice? I think I'm confident enough.
I've done both. So
really?
That's like,
okay. All right.
Like better.
All right.
I actually like the choir better. I don't think I'm that great of a singer. I used to do plays as a kid and we used to do theater and everything like that. But yeah, no, I would rather be a part of a group than to be singled out.
Yeah, me too, 100%. I don't mind the singing, but I don't want everybody to hear just me. I don't think I'm good enough for that. I think singing might be my Achilles in that.
Tom's really thinking about it over there.
I'm not thinking, I'm just waiting because okay. You all know that I want that microphone.
We've got one now. Do you want to have a little sing song?
No.
Okay, fantastic.
No, I'm not warmed up or nothing.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good excuse, brilliant. This is WandaVision inspired. Would you rather be stuck in a TV show or a video game?
Oh, TV show any day. As long as I got to pick what TV show I was in.
I think you should be able to pick, right?
Okay.
Would it be a sitcom or would it be like a Neighbors?
It would definitely be it would probably be somewhere along the lines. I would want to be dropped maybe Schitt's Creek or I'd even take Supernatural. Anything in the MCU. Like that, those are
the
kind of
series.
Do you want
to be in WandaVision?
No, I wouldn't want to be in WandaVision because I hated WandaVision. Episodes really pissed me off. By the time we got to episode 4, I just looked at my husband at the end of the episode. I'm like, are you kidding me? I love you, but you've got to be kidding me. We could have summed up that entire episode, last 4 episodes, with just that one episode.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you've wasted my time. I can't get those minutes back.
put me in The Sims.
You want to be in The Sims, really?
Yeah, yeah, I want a benevolent god who arranges things in my house.
I was abusive to my Sims, so you wouldn't want to be my Sim.
I mean, that's if I said blum, I could say
this crash friendship. My cousin built a pool around her Sim and did not build a ladder.
Yeah, standard.
And just left it there. Poor thing. I think I'd like to be in an open world game where I am the hero.
You want
to
be in Horizon.
Exactly. I want to be Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn. That's who I want to be.
Robot dinosaur.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go, girl.
Yeah, for sure. Planting all those traps and thinking about it.
I'm not a big gamer, so I don't think I would want to be stuck in anything. And I really suck at Mario Kart. So, yeah, no, I don't think I could do it. It'd have to be definitely a TV show.
And imagine going around and around and around and around the Mario track for the rest of your life. That sounds horrible.
My luck, I'd be stuck on Rainbow Road or something like that.
Okay, that's good. We're all a bit different. I'm enjoying this. Would you rather have one of those dreams where you find yourself back in high school on a day of a test and you're like, but I'm an adult now. I haven't been to this school for years. How am I going to remember this history assignment test? Or would you prefer to be experiencing one of those dreams where you're running late for something, but you can't run any faster than slow? You know, those slow motion running dreams? I have those two dreams all the time. I think it says a lot about me.
Mine is I'm always constantly late to something. So my recurrent dream, which apparently I've had to Google it because I've had it so many times, really? I used to work for Cirque du Soleil. So I was in Vegas a lot when I was in college. And my one dream that I always have is that I am running late for checkout and I can't get back to the hotel room to get my crap. And I, like, every time I hit the elevator, I come out on the wrong floor and I'm just trying to get to my room. But, like, it's over the overcom. Shannon Parola, you are going to be back in. Like, so I'm like, you know, and then something, usually if I'm sleeping long enough, Godzilla will come.
Or oh my gosh.
Like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man will make it that much more like,
goodness,
world is the ending and you need to get to the hotel room and get your crap, Shannon, because Godzilla is coming. But it's apparently a stress response that I think I'm overwhelmed. Like I can't get everything done. And so usually when I have that dream, it makes me think, all right, you need to take a chill pill, take some things off your thing, have a weekend off. So it's kind of, when I have those dreams, it's a nice reality check of you're running yourself too hard, girl. And now you're dreaming of the Godzilla and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in a hotel room that you've never been in probably 5-6 years.
What happens if they both show up? Do you go, I need a whole week. I need a week off. That's I've got both of them in my dream.
Usually I get to the point in my dream where I wake up and like Godzilla or Stay Puft is coming halfway through the hotel. Like, you know, like I'm in the hotel room and all you see is Godzilla and the rest of the building is gone.
Oh my goodness.
That's stressful. Usually I wake up and I'm like, oh, okay, we're in real life.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank goodness.
I just need to take a chill pill.
Yeah. What about you, Tom?
The only dreams that I ever remember I've died horribly in.
What?
I get murdered in my dreams.
Really?
Yeah. I don't dream much.
Is it the same way or is it a different way you get murdered?
Different.
Okay.
I get to experience a wide spectrum of death. It's good.
It's good.
Well.
I think he's embracing this.
Yeah. You know, it helps you come to terms with the inevitability of death.
I guess so,
And it gives me a good righteous fear of sleep, which is a waste.
Sleep is for the weak.
Yeah, get a lot done.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what your initial questions were, but the
running super slow or
arriving to school
on the day of a test.
On the day of a test, but you're now the age you are now.
I'll do the test one.
Really?
Yeah, I like a good test.
Okay. I thought you were going to storm in as an adult and say, excuse me, I've got no time for this.
Nah, just get in there and blag it like I used to.
Yeah, okay. How'd you go?
Very fucking well.
I hate those kind of people, Shannon. It's the worst. Okay, would you rather be a witch or a vampire? Oof. I don't want to be a vampire because I feel
witch
like...
Witch hand down.
Vampire. Yeah. They kind of know...
You want to be Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows. Yes. I know that.
Yeah.
But I think a witch for sure, but not during Salem times.
Could it be a warlock?
Yeah.
Or a wizard?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Hermione Granger status. That's like you don't have to be like an evil Agatha witch. Mm-mm. You can be Hermione.
I will be Neville Longbottom.
Okay, great.
Every fucking day.
Yeah, nothing about being a vampire attracts me or interests me. To me, that just seems horrible.
Yeah, you've either got sparkly bullshit modern vampire. You've got wanky Lestat Anne Rice. Oh, it's so gorgeous. Piss off. You've got Bram Stoker, various iterations, which I quite like. Gary Oldman, even though it's so ornate, he's still a feral beast.
You got Being Human one. Do you remember that show?
I remember that one. Adrian.
Somebody who ended up in The Hobbit.
Yes. Is he in Outlander?
No, isn't that Luke Evans' Dracula?
No, we're not talking about.
Was Luke? Okay, we're talking about the English and
we're talking about Being Human, the TV show.
Okay, right,
I believe so, but I can't now. Russell. I can't remember off the top of my head.
And there's no way of finding out.
Yeah,
we will not Google.
The Russell Tovoy was the werewolf in the show you're talking about.
Yeah, who's been in stuff.
He's been in Doctor Who. He's been in lots of things. But yeah, I know. I think he's on Outlander or something.
Yeah, I think he's in something right now. Do you watch Outlander?
I have. We cover Outlander. I have not gotten to dive in because I feel like that's one of those shows I would get too hard into and then I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
It's like Bridgerton. I started Bridgerton thinking, oh, yeah, I'll just be able to. No, I for 3 days straight, I bugged my husband. I'm like, I just need to finish it, letting me get it out of my system. And it was my husband's like rocking our kid to sleep. He goes, it's OK. Mommy has to go watch her Bridgerton porn. Like, because of course, the one time he walks into the bedroom while I'm sitting watching it is the one scene in Bridgerton. He's like, what the hell are you watching?
And you're like, no, I swear. It's fine. Final one. Who would you rather or who would you like to play you in a movie?
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like me. Because everyone's going to be like, oh, Jack Black. Fuck off.
You really like Sam. So.
I love Sam Rockwell.
He's a good bloke.
I think
he I don't know if he is, but he's a great actor.
I think he could inhabit my incessant fidgeting quite well. He's a big mover. If you watch him, he eats a lot in his performances. He's constantly moving, and that I see myself reflected there. So that's why, because he's a fellow fidgeter, I've chosen Sam Rockwell. That's what an
interesting take. Shannon, do you need more time to think, or are you able to come up with someone now?
I don't know who I would want to play me. I don't feel like I have that interesting of a story to like have them play. I don't know.
Well,
everyone usually like, Shan, you're a cross between Zooey Deschanel and Lana Del Rey. And I'm like, all right, I'll take it, I guess.
So obviously we're going to have, has Lana ever done any acting? So we can't have her.
No.
So
I don't think so.
Surely she's died in a Rob Zombie movie or something. She does she's all into that. And like, I'm sure I've seen her pop up in something, but not as a big role.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, I don't think she has. I'm looking it up right now just to make, she's only a singer-songwriter, so she doesn't count. So
okay.
I guess I'm going to have to go with Zooey Deschanel.
Well, that's...
She's a big reason why Trolls was so popular.
She's not bad.
No.
She's pretty good.
I loved her on New Girl. That was like my show for a while there. That was the best show.
And she was great in Elf as well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Her music can do one, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know much about her music.
Oh, she's actually really good. She's a more folksy side, but her music's really good, yeah.
Oh, look, Tom's not impressed.
She ruined Death Cab for Cutie.
Right, okay, well.
She tends to marry singers from indie bands and then they get not good anymore.
Isn't that like Kate Hudson married a lot of singers?
Yeah.
She ruined Counting Crows. I can't believe I felt that strongly about something.
There's a few sentences I wasn't expecting. And Tom, who would play me in a movie?
You.
There's only one correct answer.
Brand Power Lady.
Have you tried this product recently? No, I always pick Tina Fey.
You do always pick Tina Fey.
I could see, yes.
Liz Lemon, thanks. Yes. Yeah. I want to go to there. That was awesome. Well done, everybody. With the would you rather? The crowd's going wild as you can hear. But that's mainly for Shannon for coming on. And
you've done good, kid.
Oh, I'm so glad I survived.
You did it. Now everybody can go and Google Game of Nerds and you'll find the website and the podcast, and you need to just absorb all of it because it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Shannon, will you become a carryover champion here another time?
Oh, I am coming over to play with you guys all the time.
Excellent.
Yay.
Tom, on that note.
Open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk the door. That's enough.
Okay, we can't sing anymore.